Hallelujah. Well, those of you that are members of Tabernacle, you know that it hadn't been too long now since Mrs. Beth Hawthorne's been born again. Isn't it a blessing to see somebody that wasn't ashamed to trust Jesus Christ thinking about how wonderful He is? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Well, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4 this morning. And if you'll also put a little marker there in 1 Kings 17, we may go there, we may not, but Philippians chapter 4. I failed to read this while you're turning. The banquet committee will meet this morning in the men's prayer room after service. And if you'd like to help out, this is for helping with the 4th of July food. They're expecting about, I think they're preparing for about 350, maybe 400, I'm not certain. This will be one of the easier times to help out because it'll all be up at the pavilion. There won't be a lot of things to clean like we have to do in the cafeteria. But if you can help out, we certainly would appreciate that. And I know they would appreciate that as well. Philippians chapter 4 and 1 Kings 17. Philippians 4, we come to one of the great promises in the Bible. Just about to the end of the book of Philippians. And we've come now to really, again, I believe to be maybe one of the great promises. In fact, without me even telling you which verse, I'm just going to begin quoting, and I wonder how many of you could quote with me. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, there are a lot of people that know that verse without even looking at it in the Bible. Let's look at it, though, in the Bible, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to point out the word need for just a moment by way of introduction. It doesn't say, but my God shall supply all your needs. My God shall supply all your need. You know, there is a thing that you need. There is something many times that maybe we think we need that we don't need. How many of you ever bought something you thought you needed only to find out you didn't need it at all? All right. This is my God shall supply all your need. And it's tied back to a conditional promise. This is a conditional promise. And what I mean by that is throughout chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is rejoicing about this church supplying his need for the work of the ministry. In fact, if you look with me there in verse 15, he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that's when he got there with the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. So Corinth, we can read about in 2 Corinthians when he's at Corinth, and instead of the Corinthian believers meeting his needs, it's the Macedonian believers, Philippi, sending something to meet his need. And then we see it again in verse 16. The Bible says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. In other words, he say, while I was in Thessalonica, you met my needs once and again. In other words, not one time, but multiple times. And then if you look down in verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. That's Rome. That's 4,000 miles away from Philippi. And if you go back to verse 18, a man by the name of Epaphroditus brings things which were sent from you. An odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In other words, this man by the name of Epaphroditus came from Philippi, traveled all the way to Rome, and brought once again a supply for the needs of the Apostle Paul. So when he says in verse number 19, but my God, you've supplied my need, Corinth, Thessalonica, Rome, but my God shall supply all your need. Now for us looking at that as a conditional promise, here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, I really don't think that bothers us at all. Because if I've ever been part of a missions-centered church, it's Tabernacle Baptist Church. In fact, I want you to watch this. How many of you have served on the mission field? Would you stand to your feet? If you served on the mission field, would you stand to your feet this morning? That's right. Stay standing. Get back up. That's the folks that are here now. Do you know we have many more out of our church that have already gone out of this church to another place? And we support probably 300 plus missionaries. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if I've ever been in a church that tries to meet the needs of its missionaries, it's Tabernacle Baptist Church. And there's a special relationship. Thank you. You can be seated. Except for Terrell and Adriana. I want you to remain standing. This church has a special relationship with the Rose family. How many of you pray for Brother Jimmy and Sister Nancy? Would you raise your hand? All right, let's watch it. How many of you pray for Sister Sharon and Brother Milton? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many of you love Terrell and Adriana? How many of you are appreciative when God sends through people that their family has won in Brazil and they stop in here and say, hey, we just want to be part of the service. Isn't that a blessing? There's a special relationship between us and the Rose family. The same thing's true of Philippi. I believe that Paul was ostracized by the Jews. I believe that when he stepped away from Judaism and began following Christ, I think his family deserted him. If he had a wife, I think she deserted him. I think all the people that he knew, the position of power that he had, I think they all turned his back on him. But I think all those people in the churches, they grabbed a hold of him and said, we love you and you're part of our family. Hey, that's why, hey, being part of a local church is important. Your family may not be behind you, but this church is behind you. And maybe they develop a special relationship. The same could be said of Brother Edens and others. And that's where this church, they have a special relationship with the Apostle Paul, and they're sending. Thank you, Brother Terry, Sister Adriana. They're sending things. You see there in verse 18, the things. I don't know what things they are. Brother Rose, have you ever gotten anything besides money given to you? Brother Edens, have you ever gotten anything besides money given to you? Brother Robbie, anything besides money? Brother Hurst, have you gotten anything besides money given to you? Just think, we don't know what they are. But this man travels 4,000 miles. 4,000. How many of you are impressed that we have a family that traveled over 1,000 to be in our service today? I'm impressed to where it just about knocks my socks right off my feet. But I still got them on. I'm surprised. That's an amazing thing. I pastored for 30 plus years. Never had that happen. Never. Never had somebody say, saw you online, and we watched you, and we decided we needed to come down there, and on my birthday, bought plane tickets coming. That's pretty impressive, wouldn't you say? In fact, Brother Aiken, I think y'all to eat steak today. But it's up to you, whatever you want to do. And the reason I say that is because that is a great expenditure to buy a plane ticket to come to church. Boy, I'll tell you what. If there's anybody listening right now that said, I didn't come to church today because my feet hurt a little bit, I'd probably turn it off right now. 1,000 miles. 4,000 miles in that day just to bring things to one man that's trying to get the work of the ministry. Paul's rejoicing in that, and that's when he says, but my God shall supply all your need. You've met my need over and over again. My God is going to supply your need. I asked you if you'd put a mark there in 1 Kings 17. If you'll turn there, I'll give you an example of that. And while you're turning, let me read you a verse. 1 Kings 17. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The discussion is about how, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? And the Lord tells his disciples, look, seek ye first. That's in order. That's in priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I tell you what, I appreciate, we have people here that aren't well today. They are showing what priority they give to God. And I'm going to tell you what I think. God deserves the highest priority. But what, listen, that, so God says, if you'll seek these first, then all these things shall be added unto you. Food and raiment, I'm going to take care of you. Well, in 1 Kings 17, there's a time of famine. And in that time of famine, there's no rain. 3.5 years of no rain. No rain. And because of that, people are hungry and dying. And if you look what the Bible says, Elijah goes to a widow woman's house. Verse 10, so he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now you think about that. A widow woman. And it's a time of drought and famine. And the prophet says to this woman, fetch me a little water that I may drink. Next verse. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. No water, there's no bread. Nothing's growing. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. She said, sir, I don't have a morsel of bread for you. What I do have is a little bit of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. In other words, there's nothing left. I'm at the end of my resources. I have nothing left. I've got a little meal and a little oil. I don't have any bread for you. Look what he says. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now watch, watch the promise. Are you looking? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He made her a promise. He said, God said that your barrel of meal will never be empty and that cruse of oil will never run dry, but you've got to make me a little cake first. Now, that's the principle that we're seeing in Philippians. The church at Philippi is sending, and I'm certain, sacrificially, maybe Lydia had means as a seller of purple, but they're sending sacrificially a Philippian jailer, and they're saying, we want to get the work done, and we're sending what we can to Corinth and to Thessalonica and to Rome. And Paul says, I tell you what, since you've taken such good care of me, my God shall supply all your need. Which leads me to say this. It's funny how people look at a church and they'll call a church and they say, hey, listen, can you pay our light bill for us? Or, you know, can you pay our rent for us? And we've had people show up in the church, this is recently, and they want money from us. And I would just tell you this, if somebody shows up in the church and asks you for money, you ought to come ask your pastor about it first. You know what I tell most people? Our people give to missions and our people tithe. And when it comes to money, we're going to give money to our people. We'll help you with food, but we're not going to give you any money. You say, that's cold-hearted. Yeah, you know what I think? I think it's cold-hearted to come to a church and ask people for money when they didn't contribute anything to put into the church in the first place. Right. It would be like somebody that never puts a dime in a plate complaining about the temperature in the auditorium. Right. It would be somebody complaining about the state of the carpet or the state of the pews when they never put anything in the offering plate. All right, here's what I'm telling you. I think the first thing you ought to do is I think you ought to give to God. I think you ought to tithe. I think you ought to give to missions. And I think if you'll do that, you've got a promise in Philippians chapter 4, my God shall supply all your need. But you can't just say because I'm saved, okay, God, I'm saved, dump it on me. What a heretical teaching that because you get saved, you can go out and name it and claim it. God, give me an Escalade. I don't know, the gas price is going up. God, give me a Prius. Right. The idea that because I'm saved, I can claim anything that I want. And God should give me anything that I want. And I can bring my prayer list to God and He can just start checking off all these things. Listen, that is not what Philippians 4:19 is teaching. Philippians 4:19 is directed to a church. And boy, I'm glad I'm part of a church like that. In fact, if you're listening this morning and you're not a part of a church like that, I'd find me not just a Bible-believing church, but a church that's missions-minded. Amen. I'd rather be in a run-down,
missions-minded church that in the swankiest, most luxurious church building that doesn't have anything to do with getting the work of gospel around the world. You say, why? Because God will supply your need. You say, I don't believe you. Well, where do you think all this money came from for all the landscaping around here? Where do you think all this money came from to take care of all these roofs around here? I still can't get that word. I don't know if I should say roofing. All the roofing up there. Where did that come from? Well, we voted on it. Well, we're not like the government. We don't print money. We don't have that ability. Well, there's some millionaire in the church. Not that I'm aware of. You say, well, where'd it come from? Sending $20,000 to this missionary, $20,000 for this Bible project, $20,000 for this school, $5,000 for this, $2,000 for that, $3,000 for that. I hear somebody saying, well, we're just going to give all of our money away. If I had more money, I'd give more of it away. You say, why? Because the gospel of God is important. I think God smiles on Tabernacle because what we do for missions. Amen. In fact, that ought to excite folks that are members of Tabernacle. Right. A place that you can be connected to, that's connected to the work of God. That is this woman. Now look what the Bible says. Again, I know somebody's not going to believe this, but the Bible says in verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she, that's the widow, and he, that's Elijah, and her house did eat. Can somebody say the next two words for me? Many days. Wouldn't it be a blessing if somebody came by and said, I tell you what, you go ahead and you make me a steak first. And you go back, and every day there's a new steak sitting there. Of course, for some of y'all, maybe Brussels sprouts. Give me some of those Brussels sprouts. How many of you think that lady got excited about going to that barrel of meal? Come on. Do you think she said, oh, got to cook again this morning? I think she went over and went. First few times, I think she's looking like this. I can't believe there's still more in there. Well, I think by the end of it, I think she's got both hands in there and pulling it out and making big. I think the cake started out this way. I think by the time it's over, I think it's like this. I think she's saying, Elijah, you got to come here and look at this. Shows him exactly what it was in the morning. Shows him again what it was in the afternoon. Shows him again what it was in the evening. You know, believe what you want to believe. I believe there's shouting going on in the widow's house. Woo, glory to God. She's waving that hanky. She's saying, God's good. You know why? She took care of the man of God first. And look at it. Verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. God orchestrated that. God orchestrated that a prophet would be sustained by a widow woman. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need, but he doesn't say how he supplies that need, does he? God might use a widow woman. He also used ravens. How many of you like steak? Would you raise your hand? How many of you like a raven to bring you one this afternoon? Roger raised his hand. I'm right there. Bring me a steak. In its mouth, in its feet, on a regular basis. That was God doing that. All right? That was something that God, or he was meeting the need. Sometimes, though, I think we get it backwards in our mind. Okay, well, this is my need, because needs can be wide and varied. You might have a physical need. I know some of you do. We have people in this auditorium this morning that have great physical needs. You might have an emotional need. You might have something going on in your heart, whether it's sorrow or lack or whatever it may be. And there's a need there. You may have a spiritual need. And all I'm just saying is sometimes we think, well, then God's going to supply it just exactly like this. If you're still with me, turn over, if you would, for just a moment to 2 Corinthians, just a minute, chapter 12. And while you turn to 2 Corinthians 12, get Acts 16 as well. Say, preacher, we're turning a lot in our Bible. Aren't you glad God gave us a perfect book? Acts 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, What I'm saying right now is it's a conditional promise. A conditional promise that is being made to a church that is meeting the need of an apostle in Corinth, Thessalonica, and Rome over and over again so the gospel can go out. And because of that, the Holy Ghost allows him. It wasn't Paul's promise. It's God's promise, but my God shall supply all your need. Look at Acts 16 just a moment. I used to preach that was a conditional promise, that everything about that promise was based on giving. I heard Brother Jim Fallure, dear man of God, say something about that. And I want you to look here in Acts chapter 16, we're at Philippi. I think it's more than just giving. Acts 16, we're at Philippi. And the reason we're at Philippi is because in verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, if you know your Bible, if you're familiar with the passage, Paul is trying to figure out, where do I go next? God, where do you want me to go next? And in the night, he sees a vision, the Bible says, of a man from Macedonia that's saying, come help us. Well, Philippi is in Macedonia. That's why when you come down to verse number 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of that city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Listen. There is a prayer meeting that is going on by the river in Philippi. And Paul is saying, God, where do you want me to go next? And God takes and shows a vision to Paul of a man from Macedonia saying, come into Macedonia and help us. And when they get down there, they find these women gathered by that river praying. And I used to say, listen, everything about that promise is predicated on giving. You know what else I think that is? That promise that you and I have been living on, but my God shall supply all your need. I think it's also based on prayer. Are you listening to me? If it hadn't have been for somebody down by the river saying, oh God, and here's what I'm going to tell you. I know we've kind of gone past these cards and maybe it doesn't seem as fresh and new, but don't you ever let the devil tell you that your prayers don't matter, because this little lady that's praying down there by that river with those other ladies got God's attention. And then God got Paul's attention. And then Paul came to Philippi and Lydia got saved. And then Paul writes a letter back to the Philippians. And in the middle of that, he says, but my God shall supply all your needs. A woman's prayer down by a river in Philippi. And you and I have been living off a promise, but my God shall supply all your needs. Glory to God for answered prayer. But you let the devil tell you your prayer doesn't make any difference. You and I have been living off a verse quoted that originated with somebody. And I'm going to tell you right now, listen, what a blessing to see Abby Stinson baptized. Oh, my goodness, Brother Stinson, Sister Rose, to see, I never would have dreamed I'd have baptized one of your grandchildren, but to see her baptized this morning, God's doing something at Tabernacle. Amen. But it's not because of who's pastoring and because of who we are, because we've been doing this a long time. We've got a name. Now, I'm going to tell you something more important than that. It's a God in heaven that's answered the prayer of His people. Yeah. So, Mom, your prayer does make a difference. Sir, your prayer does make a difference. You say, well, I've been praying a long time. We don't know how long Lydia and them been praying. God, please send us a preacher. Have you ever heard somebody give testimony? We've been praying for a missionary to come and one goes and somebody gets saved. Amen. Well, if you've got a mark there in 2 Corinthians, I want you to read one more time with me Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I want you to see this now, and then I'm going to make about three more points, and we'll be finished. Are you still with me this morning? All right, so he says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, they have given. And now God has given a promise, I'm going to meet your need. Every need supplied. every need supplied. And here's the first thing I want you to note. The source of that supply. Look again in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. You know, sometimes there are people that don't have a clue what you need. I'd like to say this morning, when people don't know what you need, God knows what you need. You know, sometimes people have no resources to meet your need, but when people don't have resources to meet your need, I'm glad we got a God in heaven that has riches that are able to meet that need. There are times in life when you have a need, and that need just seems impossible. There's no way that that need can be met. I'm glad when things are impossible with men, that they're possible with God. And all I'm saying is that the source of the supply is God. Look how personal it is. My God shall supply all your need. Boy, I don't know how many of you have a good memory of your father. My dad's been my rock for so many years. The rock of Gibraltar in my mind. Dad was strong physically. If I needed help, I could go to him. Dad was strong mentally. If I needed an answer to something, he was there. Dad was strong spiritually. He was just such a good counselor. I could go to my dad and I could ask him for things. It seemed like Dad had an endless supply of money. How many of you realize that that was not the case? He probably just sacrificially giving. But he would seem like Dad always had money for gas, always had money for vacation, always had money for something that we needed. And then any time I had a problem, I'd go to Dad and I'd say, Dad, and especially when I first started pastoring in Ardmore, Alabama, I had all kind of problems and I'd call Dad and he'd say, oh, that's good experience, son. I can only remember one time when I called him and I said, Dad, and this was probably the biggest problem that I'd had while I was there. And I said, Dad, here's what it is. And he didn't say that's good experience. He said, well, that is a big problem, isn't it? It is. But he was able to give me advice because he was my dad. And I could tell him what the need was. Dad, man, tires on my car are just a mess. Can you help me with that? Dad, I got something I'd be embarrassed about. Dad, I got a bill that's due and I can't meet it. Can you help me with that? Dad, I got a personal problem and I really don't know what I'm going to. And I'd go to God, but I'd go to my dad because he was my dad. Aren't you glad? You may not have a Christian dad. You may not have a dad that you could go to. Aren't you glad you have a God in heaven that you can go to that can meet any need that you have? My God. That's why, hey, listen, that's why it's important to be saved. I said something about being part of a missions-minded church. I'm going to tell you what's more important than being in a missions-minded church. That's being a born-again child of God. My God. He says, my God. Paul couldn't meet that need. He's in prison. He didn't have the money to do it. Have you ever been in a place that you didn't have the money to meet somebody's need? God never finds himself in that place. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. So when you start looking for a need to be supplied, I think that you've got a better place to go than the local bank or a family member. I think you've got a God in heaven that you could go to and say, God, I've got a need. And you know what you've got? You've got somebody that can meet that need. Then I want you to secondly notice this. Notice the sufficiency of that supply. But my God shall supply. Can you say the next word for me? Let's try it one more time. But my God shall supply. How many of y'all think that all means all? How many of you think all means all in the Greek? How about in Spanish? French? Hebrew? Japanese? Latin? You know what all means? All means all. But my God shall supply all. You say, preacher, you don't know my need. No, I don't. But I got a God in heaven that not only knows your need, he knows how to meet it fully. In fact, if you look at the passage, what he says, look at verse 18. I have, what does it say? Let's try it again. Verse 18. But I have what? All and abound. I am what? How many of you know what it's like to be full? Oh, my goodness, I cannot believe every hand didn't go up. Full. I'm talking about to the brim. You know, when you're full, you know what that means? I don't need any more. And I'm glad that I got a promise from God that says he cannot just be the one to meet my need, but he can meet all of the need. In other words, there's nothing left over. He met it all. I think I'd like to say right there the word satisfied. Satisfied. Anybody here satisfied with your salvation? Satisfied. Anybody here like to trade your salvation for what the world has to offer? How about a spot in Hollywood? How about a spot in Washington, D.C.? How about your name on the front of Time magazine? I don't care. But you know what? I'm satisfied with the salvation that God's given me in my soul. I don't need anything else out there. Some cult comes by and says, we'll help you be part of a kingdom. I don't need part of a kingdom. Well, we'll help you become a God one day. I don't need to become a God. I've got one living on the inside of me. I'm satisfied. Satisfied. He just met all the need. Now, sometimes he meets that need in a way that we might not think is meeting the need. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians just a second. I ask you to turn there. And if you look with me what the Bible says, Paul, same man that was used to write Philippians 4, God's using to write 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul's been given a number of revelations. We've got all 13 books of the Bible that he wrote. And because of that, there is a danger of being lifted up. And because of that, God allows him to have a thorn in the flesh. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. And you know what he does in verse 8? He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He's saying, God, please take away the thorn. That's his prayer. That's my need, God. If you would take away this thorn, I feel like I would be able to minister so much better. God, life would be so much more effective, so much more productive. Please, God, take away this thorn. And look how God meets the need. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what God said? I'm not going to take away the thorn, but I am going to meet your need. I'm going to give you more grace than you need to take care of the problems that the thorn causes. Can I say this? That's meeting the need just like if God took the thorn out. And sometimes when we say, okay, God, my God shall supply all your need. Maybe you need it. You feel like I need money, and if I don't get this money, then I'm not going to be able to meet my bills. And instead of God maybe doing that, maybe God does something in a different way. Maybe he helps you to be able to live without the thing that caused the bill. All I'm saying is this, the supply and the source is something that God says I can do and it'll be sufficient. The last thing, if you would, go with me, if you would, back to Philippians chapter 4. So the source of his supply, my God, his riches shall supply all your need. I'm full, don't need any more. The last thing, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, I got to look in that phrase up about his riches. You know, how many of you would agree with me that the riches of God is rich in long suffering and patience with people? You believe that? Romans 2 talks about that very thing, about how that the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long suffering. I'm telling you this morning, there's bound to be some of us in here who would feel like, I don't know how far the line is out there, but I feel like I got that close to it. I've heard people give testimony. If I didn't get saved, I would end up in hell. If I didn't get right with God, yesterday I gave away a tract at a gas station. And the guy said, I know your voice. Are you a preacher? I said, I am. He said, I've seen you on the video. And he told me about his ministry. And then he said, you see that hotel right over there? I said, yes, sir. He said, I had gotten saved. He said, but my life was a wreck. It was a mess. So many things were wrong. He said, I was standing on top of that hotel. I hope he's listening this morning. He said, I was standing on top of that hotel, and I was contemplating just going ahead and jumping off because my life was such a mess. And here's what he said. And he said that in his heart, God said, I still love you, and I'll give you another chance. But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be glad that God's rich in long-suffering and forbearance. You know, the Bible talks about the vastness. When it says the riches of Christ, it's how much wealth he has. There are some people that have so much wealth, they wouldn't miss money if it left them in just huge amounts. They've got such a vast supply. I'm telling you this morning, we've got a God that has a vast supply. And not just in long suffering, but also in grace. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2 both say that God's riches of His grace. I'm glad God's long suffering, but I'm glad that God's rich in grace as well. That His grace has a vast supply. We just got through singing earlier, Amazing Grace. We ought to be amazed that God's still gracious when it doesn't have to be. There's more grace and more grace and more grace. Oh, well, I'll tell you right now. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He's rich in grace. But in this passage, it says the riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that His riches are certain. May I put it this way. That supply is going to come from God. How that supply comes is between God and you. And when He sends that supply, it will meet the need. Now, it may not pay the bill, but it will meet the need. And the last thing I want to say is that supply is a certain supply. And what I mean by that is this. I think we have put ourselves in such a strange place in this country. You know, the government is the answer for everyone's need right now. Surplus checks, stimulus checks, housing, education. We want to give everybody free education. You know, if we give everybody free education, somebody's got to pay that bill, right? Either that or we just print more money. You know what happens when we keep printing money? That money loses its value. You know governments fail all the time? Newsflash, the United States government has already failed once in a huge way. Oh, yeah. Well, I got my money tied up in the stock market. There were a lot of people that had it tied up in the stock market. You know what they found out? Stock market's not certain. Well, I got my money in a bank. Yeah, you know what people found out? Those banks weren't certain either. Well, I tell you what, we can just count on the stimulus money. You know what they found out? They found out that the government couldn't print money fast enough, and the depression hit. And then the same thing we read in 1 Kings 17, the great dust bowl out west. No rain, no nothing. You know what? This country fell into a depression. I still remember, I don't know what a Hoover rabbit is, but my grandmother talked about eating Hoover rabbits. Hoover rabbits and wind pudding. That does not sound very satisfying to me. There wasn't any, people didn't have anything. My grandfather was a chef. He worked another man's land and lived in his house because the government couldn't meet the need. Well, hey, I got good news this morning. God's bank will never go bankrupt. God's bank will never get unstable. God's supply will never be diminished. What God has is certain compared to what the world has. And you and I, we are better off trusting in a God whose riches are in Christ Jesus than the riches in Washington, D.C. Amen. Say, preacher, I got such a big need. You got a big God too, don't you? Yeah, but preacher, nobody knows that need, but He does. Yeah, but preacher, it's just impossible. Yeah, we got a God that works in impossibilities. And He can meet the need to where you'll be satisfied. Come on, some of y'all I hope you're not thinking about it, but some of y'all fish can go get satisfied here in just a minute. You're going to get satisfied. You're not going to quit eating until you're satisfied, and then some of you how many of you going to take a nap? You're going to take a nap too, aren't you? Yeah. Gonna eat and sleep. Satisfied. Do you know whatever your need is this morning? If you'll meet the condition, God says, I can do the same thing for you. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. What a precious promise we have. So if you'd stand to your feet, I'm just going to ask you this question. Maybe you've got a need you tried to go to somebody else for. Maybe you've gone to a family member, a friend, a financial institution. Maybe you've picked up some self-help books. Maybe you've gone to somebody in the finance world. Maybe you've gone to somebody that's got answers when it comes to child raising or whatever else it may be. We read a verse in the Bible today, a promise from God that He would supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Brother Ken's going to play, and I'm going to invite you to come, not to me, not to the church, not to a friend, but to God, and get that need met. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Lord, please help us now. As best we can, Lord, we've tried to take and open the Scriptures up to our eyes. And there may be somebody listening right now, Lord, somebody that thinks that their need's too great. Or, Lord, there may be somebody that's had a need for a long, long time. God, I pray You'd help them to see that there's a God in heaven that promises to meet that need fully. Whether it's a single mother, Lord, whether it's a man who's doubting the future, all the things financially that may be going wrong, somebody that has a question about the work You've given them to do, I pray, God, You'd help them to see You have a supply that can meet that need. Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Holt, why don't you sing a verse while these are gathered at the altar to pray.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He
time together.
All that you need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you.
Sing that chord. Sing it now. Blessed God we have. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you'd help out with the banqueting committee in the men's prayer room here, and then Rebecca Clark will be down here ready to take your picture if you hadn't had it for our directory. All right. God bless you.